All right, welcome. Good morning. This morning we have a special treat. We have one of the pastors from our Sister Nazarene Church across town with us today, Pastor Eric Wood. We'll be delivering our message for this morning. So as he comes up front now to deliver the message that God has laid on his heart for us this morning, let's give him a round of applause.
Well, good morning. It is really good to be with you. I've been looking forward to today for a couple months now. And I've known Pastor Rich for a number of years, and he's always spoken very highly of this church and of all of you. And so I was looking forward to meeting you and getting to know you a little bit better. And I was telling a couple different people, it's my first time in this new building, and it's just what a great facility for you guys and to be able to worship and gather together. And this is just an amazing place to be. So if you don't mind, I'm going to jump right in and get going and share a little bit what God has placed on my heart, and hopefully he will speak through us today. At an early age, I believe we are taught an incredible lie. And that lie is in the form of a rhyme. And I'm pretty sure most of you know this or have heard this, but it goes something like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think that's one of those things we say, you know, we're on the playground or we're in the classroom, or it's just a defense mechanism to try to make us feel better. So a way to try to shield ourselves from what really does hurt us. You know, I remember hanging out my dad's pickup truck. I was sitting on the passenger side, and we were going through the woods, and I wasn't looking, and all of a sudden a branch came and smacked me in the head and scraped up my face. I seem to have healed from that. Things have come back to normal, but I still remember. I can still hear some of those words. I can still feel a little bit of the pain deep down of some of the words that were spoken at me or to me or against me. I can also still remember some of the words that I've spoken, words that I've used that maybe have hurt somebody else. I will have a confession. This is something that I admit that I fail on from time to time. I've got close friends that I've asked to pray for me, to hold me accountable in the things that I say, the words that I speak. There's times where I'm just joking around. That's usually where I come in fault, is where I'm joking around. I'm trying to say something funny, but it ends up being something truthful and something that takes a little jab at somebody that causes a little pain. The old cliche says that many a truth are said in jest. But the words that I've spoken, I've had to ask to be accountable. That the things that come out of my mouth and things that I say be something that are beneficial. Proverbs 18:21 speaks about our words. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Mother Teresa has this incredible quote that says this, words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. Sit on that for a second. Words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. Craig Groeschel, one of my favorite authors, in one of his books wrote this, every time you open your mouth to utter a word, you have the opportunity to speak life or the temptation to take it. And when I read things like that, when I hear Mother Teresa's quote and Craig Groeschel, I'm thinking about every time that I speak words, any time that I open my mouth, that I have the opportunity to bring life to somebody. I have the opportunity to build somebody up. I have the opportunity to say something that will help them, or I have the opportunity, the temptation to take it. That the words that I use, the words that I say, can either bring that life or take life. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians in 4:29, says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So I want you to, as we continue on this morning, I want you to wrestle with this question. I want to put this out there for you to think on and to chew on, to pray on. When you have a conversation with somebody, when you're speaking to somebody, or maybe you're speaking about something or somebody, maybe even it's in the form of typing or even the thoughts within your head, Are the words that you're using, the words that you're thinking, the words that you're typing, are they beneficial? Are they bringing life or are they taking it? Is the conversation with that person, whether you're talking at them or you're talking about someone else, is the conversation that you're having with somebody, are they better off after your conversation than when you first started? Have you promoted life and given glory to God, or do we spread evil and bring division within the kingdom of God? Like I said before, I still remember some of the words that were spoken to me. Some of them were on, you know, in middle school, and you know, middle school boys and middle schoolers in general can be cruel. I was one of them. But I remember hearing a little bit later in life some words that rocked me to my core. It was, I had just graduated high school, and I started talking about going into ministry. I felt like God was calling me. I felt this tug on my heart. And I remember someone I trusted, someone that was close to me, told me, "You don't have the personality that it takes to be a pastor. You're not going to succeed in ministry. You're not going to make it." I remember hearing those words, thinking, here I am, feeling that God is pulling on my heart, feeling that God is doing something in my life. I want to be obedient to that. I'm not sure how to handle this. And my own insecurities as a high school boy that couldn't get up in front of people to speak and has a tough time in conversation, hearing those words, thinking, maybe they're right. Maybe what they're saying is true, and I should listen to this person. Those words dug deep down. Now, I'm not sure. I can't tell you the intent of that person. I'm not sure if they were trying to be honest with me, if they were trying to speak a hard truth, or if they were just speaking something to bring me down. But at the end of the day, what we listen to, the words that we listen to, is what we choose to believe. We hear things. We're always going to hear words, but there's a difference between hearing and listening. And so we can choose to listen to those words that are spoken to us. We can choose to hear those things in a way that just begins to manifest itself on the inside to become what we are on the outside. It's time that we let go of the lies and we grab onto the truth. Craig Rochelle, once again, he talks about that anytime you hear something, you can categorize it in two different ways. It is either truth or it's trash. The things that are being spoken are truth or they're trash. And so when someone speaks something to you, when someone says something to you and you hear words, you can identify those things into truth or trash. You can listen to the evil arrows of others and believe, or you can believe what God says about you. You can believe things that are trying to bring you down, things that are trying to hold you back, things that are intended to bring you harm, or you can say, I know where my identity is in Scripture. I know what God says about me. At the end of the day, I believe that God was calling me into ministry. I believe that what He was trying to do was greater than my deficiencies, greater than the words that were spoken against me. If we stop and we believe the truth, if we grab onto the truth, then we will live in the truth. Like I said, I can also remember some of the harmful words that I've spoken. Some of those things that, you know, as soon as you say them, you wish you could just grab them and bring them back, and you could suck those words right back into your mouth because you know, as soon as you said them, they caused damage. And sometimes I've done it out of joking. Sometimes I've done it out of poor intentions of my heart, maybe trying to cause pain or heartache. We tell our kids this little analogy about the toothpaste and the bottle and trying to get the toothpaste back in. Once you say it, it's out there, and you can't bring them back in. And I still have those regrets. I still remember the times I offered trash, the times that I offered death, that took the temptation to take the life instead of giving life. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." We move on into Matthew, and Jesus is talking, and he says these words in this passage. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to dive into John 4 a little bit later if you've got your Bibles. He says this, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is." full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is telling us that the words that we speak, the words that we hear, are merely a symptom of something greater within us. The words that we're using are a window into our hearts. The source of our words is our heart. So the condition of our heart determines the condition of our words. The words that we use become this audible gauge into our spiritual lives. If you want to know where someone stands with Jesus, you want to know where they're really at in their spiritual lives, listen to them talk. Listen to their words. And some of us are really good. We can fake it for a time. We can say the right things. But at the end of the day, you can hear somebody's heart. You can gauge where they're at because you can hear the words that they're saying. So again, are the words bringing life or are they bringing death? Are you speaking truth or trash? I had a good friend that was telling me that he and his son were sitting at a restaurant outside here in Valpo. And they, as they were eating their lunch, there were two people sitting at another table. And they were close enough where they could hear the conversation. And my friend was telling me that in this conversation, it was such an awful conversation that he could not wait for his lunch to be over for him and his son to get out of there because he couldn't stand listening to them talk any longer. And it wasn't that they were being vulgar. It was they weren't saying any four or five or three-letter words that were inappropriate. It was just the content of the conversation was so incredibly depressing. It was so bad that he couldn't stand being around it. Now imagine if he would have gone up and he would have started sharing his faith and talking about Jesus and talking about Scripture. I'm like, oh yeah, we're Christians. We believe we've got the joy down in our heart. We love God. The audible gauge of their heart was speaking against what they may have been really living. You can tell by what we say. And so what we come away with sometimes is we're going to say, you know what, you're right. I do have a trouble with my tongue, the things that I'm saying. James 3 has a whole passage on taming the tongue and all of that. But we say, you know what, I'm going to watch what I'm going to say. I'm going to be more careful about the words that are coming out of my mouth. But I think there's more to it. I think if we're saying that we just want to be, we're going to be careful about what we say, we're missing the point of something deeper that's there. It's getting to the heart of it. If words are merely a symptom, then we need to get to the heart of the problem. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23 addresses this. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a whole man's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That last part is something I think we need to hold on to this morning. Guard, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If the heart is the source of our words, and we want to live a God-honoring life, a life that is well-lived for Him, a life that is speaking and living the gospel, then we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard the source of where these words are coming from. One of my favorite authors, his name is Kyle Eidelman. In his one of his books, he has this illustration that I think is incredibly appropriate for this. He talks about this river that lines all this land that this farmer owns. And this farmer loves this river because it is the source of everything that he, of all of his crops and his livestock and everything. It is the lifeblood of everything, his livelihood of everything that he owns. And so one day, as he was tending to his land, he was on the bank of the river, and he just saw this piece of trash floating down. And he thought, that was odd. I gotta make sure that gets out. I don't want that to get down into my crops. I don't want that to get into my livestock. I want to make sure to protect that. So he wades out into the water, pulls out the trash, and throws it away. The next day, he's out there. He's working in his next to the river again, and he sees two pieces of trash flowing down. He's like, that's odd. That's, you know, we saw one yesterday. I got to get out. I got to get that. So he wades out, gets the trash, pulls it out. Third day comes. Once again, it's three pieces of trash. And by the fourth day, he starts seeing more and more trash. And so he's out there. He spends all day trying to gather up all the trash and get it out. By the fifth day, he's out there, and he is just hauling trash back and forth. And by the time he realizes it, there's trash getting by him, and there's stuff getting into his crops and down into his livestock and starting to affect his possessions. And he's doing as much as he can to try to get as much of it out as he can. And then he realizes it's a lost cause. He realizes that there's too much for him to try to sort out as he's in the river trying to protect his stuff. And he's sitting there thinking he's overwhelmed. He said, I got to stop worrying about this stuff right here, the symptoms of what is happening. I need to go to the source. I need to go upstream. I need to find out who's dumping this into this river. I need to find out where all this trash is coming from and stop it there. I think what happens is we're talking about our words. As we're talking about the things that we're saying, we want to deal with symptoms. We want to deal with things that are the effects of a cause deep within us. And so we start trying to clean up our words. We try to clean up our act. Or we try to do things a little bit better because we want to wash the outside of the cup and not the inside. And so what we do is we start picking at these symptoms and we start trying to just take care of those. But there is a deeper heart that we need to get to. So what Jesus taught us in Matthew is that every time that we speak, we're taking this bucket down into our hearts and we're drawing up what's in there and we're pouring that out onto people. That is what gets dumped onto people as we're speaking to them. And so when our hearts are full of toxins and pollution, and when it's filled with just death, when we pull that up, that is what we are speaking to people. And so we can do our best to try to clean up the toxins before they get out, but instead, what if we went to the heart of it? When the wells of our hearts have been polluted, that's all we know what to draw up from. These toxins get into our hearts by different ways. They become learned behaviors. How does a young boy learn how to speak to his wife other than hearing the way that his parents spoke to each other, or maybe what he sees on TV? How do we know how to in speaking to children, how they respond to people by the way they hear their parents speak to them? Maybe it's a learned behavior in speaking about race and ethnicity in the home or in the school or wherever it might be. Or maybe it's cultural lies that we listen to, we hear, and those things, they pour into our lives. And then when we draw up the well from the well to speak, it's what we know and what we hear because that's what we're filling our hearts with. I think a lot of times what happens is we self-source our heart. We try to source our heart with whatever we know it to do. Instead of seeking after Scripture, instead of seeking after God, instead of seeking after the living water, it just becomes us. And when we do that, it becomes this cesspool, this unmoving, unchanging, dirty life, because it's all we're doing is just cycling the same water, cycling the same thing. And when we pour out, it becomes trash. And we pour onto people all that we know. But when we fill our hearts with truth, we speak truth. When we encounter God through Scripture and prayer, and when we're seeking after Him, we will never be the same. You see, when we're in this relationship with God and we are just dwelling in His presence, when we are allowing Him to move into us and change us and to pour into us, then when our hearts become this well of Him, of truth, and of His presence, then when we speak, we draw up this life and we pour it out onto people. He fills our hearts with His Spirit, and the Spirit becomes an extension of who we are. We have this testimony directly because of what God has done in our lives. Back in 2004, I was dating this really incredible girl, and I'll spoiler alert, I married her. So in case you're wondering, I'm not talking about some other girl. And I have this beautiful wife. So I'm dating my future wife. And there was the time that I had to, it was time for us to take that next step. So I bought the ring. I got on one knee. I proposed. And that story is for another time. But after we got engaged, it was such good news. It was this life-altering experience that there was the beginning of something new that we couldn't help but tell people. So we were walking through campus, and it was like Buddy the Elf. I'm in love. I don't care who knows it. We're walking around. We're telling strangers. So we get on the phone. We start calling all of our family members, and we're telling, calling moms and dads and aunts and uncles. And I'm on the phone. I'm like, Grandpa, I'm getting engaged. He's like, who is this? I'm like, it's your grandson. It's Eric. It doesn't matter. I'm getting married. I don't even care. But we were excited because there was good news. It was something that we wanted to share with people. We were so changed in a way that there was this new life, this new chapter. It was something that we couldn't help but tell people because we wanted to celebrate. I want to turn to John 4, and if you've got a Bible and you want to turn it to John chapter 4, I encourage you to do so. Or if you have a device that you've been on Twitter for the past couple minutes, you want to switch over to a Bible app, that'd be good as well. But John 4, there's so much to the story. And I wish we could dive into more of it. And I'll let Pastor Rich tell some more of the story. But there's this woman who is drawing up water from a well. And the story goes that Jesus came into town and sits down at this well and is having a conversation with this woman. And like I said, there's so much to dive into. The cultural implications of Jesus, A, talking to a woman in public, and B, talking to a Samaritan, just has all these implications I can't get into right now. But as the story goes, they're talking about her past. And Jesus offers her something that she was not quite looking for. She had been looking for something to fulfill her, something to bring her more than what she was able to find on her own. And he finally says, I will offer you this living water. He offers her himself. He's like, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you me, and you will never thirst again. And she takes and she receives. And what I want to focus on here is chapter 4, starting in verse 28. And it says this, then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. What I love about this is she had been seeking all her life for something to fulfill her. She had been seeking for something to make her complete, something that she would never thirst again. She had gone from relationship to relationship. She had lived her life in such a way that she had never found it. But finally, she experienced Jesus in such a way that she was filled with the living water. And when she was filled with that living water, she could not help but tell other people about it. In this story, we see that she becomes the first evangelist in Scripture. When she was changed by Jesus, she went back to town and shared her story with the people that she lived life with. After receiving the living water, she spoke out of a heart that was full of Jesus. She had a reputation, she had a past, she had guilt, she had sin, but she let go of all of that. She let go of her status and her fears, and she went and she testified to the people of the town to say, this Jesus offered me something that I just can't help but speaking about. When she got a taste of God's grace, her first inclination was to share it with other people. She was so transformed, she was so moved, she was so filled that she could not help but overflow, that the well of her heart was something that she drew the bucket down and went into the town people and just said, this is Jesus. Come and see what I have experienced. Moving ahead in this chapter, starting in verse 39, says this, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And here's my favorite verse. And because of his words, many more became believers. Her testimony of what Jesus did in her led them to their own encounter with Jesus. See, our words have an opportunity to bring life. Our words are when we draw up from the well of our heart and speak of Jesus, the words themselves do not change people. The words bring people closer to an encounter with Jesus himself, and only Jesus can transform somebody's heart. And so what this woman did is she went in and told these people about him, but they came out and experienced him for themselves. So as people of God, as we sit in this room and we're seeking after him and we want to make a difference and we want to tell people about Jesus, it's no longer being careful about what you say. It's no longer just watching the words that are coming out of your mouth. It's a whole new you testifying to God's grace, his mercy, and his love in your life. Like I said before, simply changing your words, it's like washing the outside of the cup when the inside is still dirty. We can't just try harder. But when it comes to speaking about Jesus, I think what happens is we're willing to do just about anything except for sharing the gospel. We'll maybe volunteer more. Maybe we'll stop doing bad things. Maybe we'll give more money or we'll read the Bible more. But when it comes to testifying to people that don't know Jesus, we get back and we're like, ooh, you know, that's not really for me. We come up with reasons. We come up with excuses. We say things like, talk is cheap. Prove it. There's a couple great quotes out there. William Channing says, may your life preach more loudly than your lips. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel always. Use words when necessary. And I get that. At our church, we talk about our creed matching up with our deed. The things that we say matching up with the things that we do. Or the old school, talking the talk but walking the walk. And that's true. You cannot talk about Jesus. You cannot open up about Jesus if your life does not match it. I get that. And I'm here to testify that is true. We cannot speak about a Jesus if our lives have not been transformed by him. But on the other side of that, I think what we do is we talk about this. I'm just going to live my life in a way that people are going to see it and they're going to ask me questions. They're going to know that I'm a Christian by the things that I do. And I say that's great. However, we're missing the other side of that. We're missing the opportunity for our words to bring life and introduce people to Jesus. We still need to use our words as our testimony about who Jesus is. Living our lives for him and to be an example is good, but we need to match that up with the words that we're saying. We can't speak about him and not live it out. We can't live it out without speaking about it. Those two go hand in hand. And so as we go out of this place, maybe Mark 16, 15 through 16 gives us inspiration when Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. We get caught up in that verse because it says, preach the good news. And you're like, well, that's easy. That's what this person, whoever's standing here, is supposed to do, to preach. But when we look at the real word in the Greek, it says caruso. That word means to proclaim the good news. So it is not about a professional pastor or minister or clergy preaching the gospel. It is for all people who have been changed by God, whose hearts have been so transformed to go and proclaim the good news, to share what has been done in your life, to tell them that there is life and hope, that there is living water that can fill you. Jesus sends us on a mission to share the gospel through our testimony of what he has done in us. The gospel means good news. The gospel means news that brings joy. And sometimes we get caught up and we're ashamed of, or we're afraid of rejection or the tough questions or bad timing, or we don't want to cram the Bible down anyone's throat, but the excuses come when we're sharing the wrong thing. Good news is good news. Good news is something that we're willing to share. Back when we told our story, when my wife and I got engaged and we're calling people, you know, the first thing I told people was, guess what? I never get to date anybody else again. Guess what? I'm responsible now for someone else. I don't get to have my freedom anymore. Guess what? I no longer get to just look out for myself. And I now I have to sacrifice my money and my time and my efforts. And all that's not true. It wasn't about what I couldn't do. The good news wasn't that I no longer could date anybody else or that I was off the market or whatever that might be, it was good news because of what I had found. And so when we're telling people the gospel, when we're sharing the good news, it's not a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. It's not about self-help. It's testifying to how God, who through his Son, gives us life, gives us hope, who gives us peace, who makes us whole again. And so when all of us are searching for something, when we're looking for things to fill our lives and to make us complete and to make us whole, and we've gone from thing to thing to thing to thing trying to find that fulfillment, we know that we have the living water who fills our hearts, transforms us in such a way that when we speak of him, when we speak words, it becomes this gauge that God has changed us in such a way that we pour out the words on the people because of a transformed heart. Acts 4:19-20 says this, "But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.'" And that's my prayer for us today, that as we encounter the living God, when we have the living water flowing in and through us, when it changes us and it just becomes this open valve into our lives, when the Spirit is just pouring into us time after time and we're seeking after him, that just becomes an overflow of who we are. That we're like Peter and John, that we cannot help but speak of what he has done in us and through us. The story of Jesus is good news. The question is, why are we holding on to it? Why are we keeping it to ourselves? Think about your story. What has God done in your life? How has Jesus so transformed you and changed you and walked with you and given you grace and mercy that we can't speak about it? So my prayer this morning is that we get this fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we ignite this renewed passion within our hearts, that we are changed from the inside out, so that when we speak life, we speak truth, but we speak the good news of Jesus who has changed us. May our words bring life to someone who needs it as an overflow of our hearts that have been changed. Maybe this morning, too, you're thinking, you're right, I've been just trying to watch my words. I've not been speaking out of a changed heart. Maybe this morning you're thinking, man, I want that living water. Maybe you've never tasted the goodness of Jesus. I would encourage you this morning as we wrap up with another song and then we finish out with communion, I would encourage you, maybe this morning you want that living water. You've tried to fill your lives with so many different things, but maybe Jesus is the one thing you've not ever reached out to. Maybe Jesus is that thing that you need to this morning. Say, you know what? I'm done searching. I need Jesus. I need that living water to fill me and to change me and to shape me and to mold me. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I just thank you for who you are and all that you do. I thank you that you're a God who loves us, even when we don't deserve it. Even when we mess up, even when we walk away, even when we search for things that are outside of you, you still love us. This morning, our prayer is that our words, the things that we say, would be a gauge to see our hearts that are so overflowing with you. I pray this morning that you would send your Spirit, that you would make our hearts new again, that your living water would pour into a heart and change us and start to stir within us this well that is full of life, that is full of truth, that is full of you, so that when we speak, when we draw up out of our hearts, it becomes an extension of who you are speaking through us. Father, I pray for those this morning that are just in need of you. We're all in need of you. But maybe there's someone this morning that has never tasted the living water, that has never surrendered to you a heart that is full of toxins and pollution. Pray right now that you would move in, you would clean that heart, and you would replace those things with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to speak. Give us the boldness to speak for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
As Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, to be betrayed, to be crucified for us, so that he could be resurrected, so that we may have the Holy Spirit. As he was getting ready for that, he was sitting with his disciples at what we know of as the Last Supper, and he took the bread, the loaf of bread that was sitting there, and he held it up, and he broke it, and prophetically said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." In a similar way, he lifted the cup and said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant that is overseen by my spirit poured over you. This is my blood poured out for you. Take and drink this in remembrance of me." So now, as we prepare to take communion, let's do it in remembrance of Jesus and all that he's done for us, both 2,000 years ago and what he's done for us in our lives just in the last even few minutes. Let's take communion in remembrance of Jesus. Let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught us so very long ago. Our Father, who is in heaven,